Michael was over there leading the singing, singing and leading the singing. There was like 11 people there. And he kept calling for testimonies, and 10 of them done testify. And he said, anybody else have a testimony? And I guess he knew I needed to testify. I hadn't been saved very long. And I guess it helped me. I don't know. The Lord's helped me. Dear Lord, please help us here tonight. We love you and praise you, Lord. I pray you'd help the preacher. Done been said, we need him, Lord. We need him. We need you. God, help us now, I ask. In Jesus' name, amen. Been looking at the offerings in the Old Testament, pictures of the Lord in the New Testament, and we won't read all these verses, but if you want to check it out tomorrow when you get home sometime, the first 7 verses in Leviticus talk about the offerings. That's mostly where it is. It's not everything. And then chapters 8 and 9 is about the priest. And then the rest of the book is about the place. About the place. And all of Israel would gather in around the place. They were big on the place. We're big on the person that was in the place now in the New Testament. But there's several offerings. One offering doesn't furnish a complete picture of the Lord. But we'll try to look at maybe 5. Maybe 5. There's more than that. First would be the sin offering, which I just normally think of first when anyone talks about the Old Testament offerings. And they would bring a bull or a calf, and they'd burn it outside the camp. That's where our Lord was resigned to go outside the camp. That's where they took him. And they'd burn him with the blood once a year for an atonement for sin, get rid of sin. And that's what I normally think of in the offerings. But it was a holy sacrifice. And whatever touched this sacrifice was holy. And before it ever started, the priest, he had to have a sacrifice for himself and for his sins so he could go in and handle the offering. One good thing for me, it was for the ignorant. Let's look at that in Numbers 15:26. Numbers 15:26, and it shall be forgiven all the congregation of the children of Israel and the stranger. The stranger could get in here that sojourneth among them, seeing all the people were ignorant. Now, I know it's not a good place to say amen, but I don't think things have changed much. If they were ignorant, well, I already know I am. I'm dumber than a brick, really. But I'm glad the ignorant could get in. I'm glad the ignorant could get in. Let's look at Hebrews 13:13, that outside the gate I was talking about. Now, the religion has resigned the Lord to outside the gate. Denominations have resigned the Lord to outside the gate. He's on the outside knocking on the door like over there in Revelation. And everybody don't want Him in. They want Him outside the gate. They'll talk about God. They'll talk about being good. All kinds of things, but not about Jesus. Right. Hebrews 13:13. Let us go forth therefore unto Him. Guess what? We're going to be in good company if we go outside the gate, outside the camp unto Him. Without the camp, bearing His reproach. Bearing His reproach. Maybe you've already experienced some of that, but that's where He is. The place He was cast by a religious rejecting world. A Christ rejecting world. A religious world. See, the devil's big about religion. It's a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, the hours He was on the cross. See, He wasn't always a sin bearer. He didn't always have our sins on top of Him. Our sins wasn't on Him in the manger. Right. that our sins wasn't on Him when He was walking on the water and making blind men see. While He was on the cross, this is a picture of while He was on the cross, on my cross. See, it should have been my cross. It was His cross, but it should have been mine. It's what Christ. It's a picture of what Christ became for us. For us. It was judgment. It was judgment. And there was no charges against Him. He had to take my charges. There wasn't anything against Him. The bulls and goats purged flesh in the Old Testament for a time. Like I said, they do this once a year. Christ purged the conscience forever. Forever. Conscience is another word for soul. He purged our soul forever. It wasn't temporary. The imputed sin on the cross was real to the Savior, to the darling Son of God. It was real. He dreaded that part becoming sin. His imputed righteousness should be a reality for me and for us. I should feel it, really. Man gained more on the cross than he lost in the fall. We've heard that a lot. But God also gained more on the cross than he lost in the fall. He got him a bride. He's going to show us off one day on his arm. He's going to tell them, we're going to be a picture of that grace. There's no middle ground. We're either in Christ or in sin. That's it. If we're in sin, we're out of Him. Now I need to remember, I need to get it down in my heart that my sins are ashes. It's just like that sea of forgetfulness. They're not on us. When He arose from the tomb, there wasn't one sin left on Him either. It's gone. They're ashes. They're gone. They're in the sea of forgetfulness as far as the east is from the west. A newborn babe that just got saved is as justified as the 50-year-old saint that's been in this thing, seemed like forever. So the ground's level at the cross. If you're in the family, you're in the family. All of Aaron's sons were priests. You get born into the family. There's not enough work you could do to get into or to get rid of your sins. There's not enough. All of Aaron's sons were priests, and all believers are priests. If you just did get born again, or like I said, you've been born for a long time. That's the first offering. The second offering, I don't know if there's any order to them, but tonight, the next one is the trespass offering. They used a ram or a lamb or a kid for the atonement. And in this trespass offering, all sins were frankly forgiven. Frankly forgiven. Now, some of these offerings were every day. They had offerings every day. And this main one was once a year. And His grace forgives all. But the government of His holiness passes over nothing. He doesn't miss one thing wrong that Brother Rick does. The best illustration of, one time I heard about the fellow that got drunk, run into a train, got his arm cut off. And then he got saved after that. Woke him up, shook his world, woke him up. Well, he's saved, but he still don't have an arm. That's the government of God. There's repercussions for sin that have to come about. Grace will forgive them all. But the government has to go on. The blood of the trespass offering cleanses and forgives. But I just realized this. It sends the thief back with the principal to pay back the whole and a fifth part of interest in addition. 100% plus 20 more percent. If I steal $100 from Brother Teddy and I'm wanting to get in on this trespass offering, I need to go back to him and give him 120. And then ask the Lord to forgive me. The injured is actually the gainer. the gainer. Let's look at it in Leviticus 5:14. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, if a soul commit a trespass and sin through ignorance in the holy things of the Lord, then he... Then he shall bring for his trespass unto the Lord a ram without blemish out of the flocks with thy estimation by shekels of silver after the shekel of the sanctuary for a trespass offering. And he shall make amends for the harm that he hath done in the holy thing and shall add the fifth part thereto and give it unto the priest. And the priest shall make an atonement for him with the ram of the trespass offering, and it shall be forgiven him. Here's another place, Leviticus 6:4. Then it shall be, because he has sinned and is guilty, that he shall restore that which he took violently away, or the thing which he hath deceitfully gotten, or that which was delivered him to keep, or the lost thing which he found, or all that about which he has sworn falsely, he shall even restore it in the principal and add the fifth part more thereto and give it unto him to whom it appertaineth in the day that his trespass offering. You see a little bit of that in the New Testament. So some of the principal carried forward. And Brother Jeremy and I were talking about this verse right before church here, Ephesians 4:28. Might be, I'm not saying it is, it might be connected with this trespass offering. It says, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Now, I don't know, I don't think Brother Teddy's very needy, but I'd need to go get a job and pay him the $100 and the $20. 2 Timothy 2:19, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Well, if I have to keep paying back those 120s, I'm not going to do it no more. I'm going to quit it. 1 John 3:10, in this the children of God is manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. Near as I can figure, all crimes are hate crimes. Number three offering tonight, the burnt offering. The burnt offering, the offerer gets a ram or a lamb, burning it on the altar all night. It's a sweet savor for the Lord. And this altar was of whole stones. No tool, no metal was supposed to come against it, not chip them out like cinder blocks and lay squares or nothing. No iron was to touch it to show that it's not of man's works. It's natural. This burnt offering was daily, and it was continually. It's every morning and every evening. For God received it thankfully. Now, this offering pictures the life of Christ. And it was from the cradle to the cross, something He was doing just for the Father. It was a secret time. It pictures a secret time when the Son told the Father how much He loved Him. It was a special relationship that this all pictures. It told the deep secrets of the Son's love for the Father. It was a pleasing odor. It was Christ's perfect work. John 14:30. Hereafter I'll not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me. He was simply obeying the Father. And that's what He wants me to do. He's done everything for me, and all I need to do is simply obey. That's all He's interested in. is simple obedience. John 10:17. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. The flame, the beating with the whip, the cat of nine tails, got off the outer layer. It was the inner layer, down inside, that loved the Father, that was obeying. It revealed the inward part of the Son that was wholly devoted to the Father. It was viewed by God alone. It was too private for the world. It was precious beyond measure. It was the voluntary inward motives that showed up on the outside. It showed up on the outside conduct, and everything of Jesus was on the altar for God. And it was by love. And the ashes declared the completeness. And it was all accepted. It was all a sweet odor in the nostrils of the Father. The number four offering tonight is the meat offering. Yeah. It's also called the meal offering. Yeah. Meal, like M-E-A-L. Like flour. I don't know why it's called the meat offering, because there's no meat in it. It's all meal. Matter of fact, the main ingredient is fine flour.
Yeah.
Be okay if I just go ahead and say he was fine.
Yeah.
God the Father's fine.
Yeah.
God the Son's fine.
Yeah.
God the Holy Spirit's fine.
Yeah.
Fine and kind. I'm talking about the perfect man. There was no coarse grain in him. No roughness in it. It was all even and smooth. He was all even and smooth, just like that polished board right there. No roughness. He was never ruffled. You couldn't ruffle his feathers. Kick him in the shins, it didn't bother him. Never ruffled. He never had to retrace a step or recall a word. Now, John Wayne says it's a weakness to apologize. He said, never apologize, it's a weakness.
Yeah.
The Lord didn't need to.
Right.
He never did anything wrong.
Right.
Perfect. I'm talking about perfect.
Yeah.
No leaven in him. This is his life.
Yeah.
It's poured out for the Father and for us. Now, no leaven. If you remember, today we use yeast. But in the Old Testament, in Bible times, they used leaven to make that dough rise. And there was no leaven in the Lord's life. Nothing to be puffed up about. Oh, we're just dust. And Brother Rick has nothing to be puffed up about. Jesus is the pure, perfect servant in His walk and in His life. Then it had oil. In this meal offering, picture the Holy Spirit. From the very first, from conception, the Holy Spirit did it. That fine, see, He's fine also. He did it. He emptied of Himself from conception to make room to obey. The Lord emptied Himself to make room to obey. The Holy Spirit did it. The Holy Son was formed, conceived by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Son was filled by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Son was anointed by the Holy Spirit for the work to be done. The Holy Son was led by the Holy Spirit to know where to go. The Holy Son was offered up by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Son was powered by the Holy Spirit through His whole life. Then in this meal offering, there was salt. I think I read there was salt in every offering. It showed the enduring character. You know, salt will make that ham last. You can hang it out in the ham house. It'll last. Salt shows enduring character. Uncorrupt value in salt. Faithfulness and purity. There was no honey, nothing sweet or attractive in the Lord. He looked like every other Jew. Nothing that the eye would want to look at him. And then there was some frankincense in there to make, again, for a sweet odor. And it all adds up to bread from heaven. Like we've been studying about in Sunday school, if you've been in there. The manna, the bread from heaven. The mode for the preparation. How was the meal offering prepared? Well, it had to go through the fire. And the Lord went through the fire on Calvary. That brass snake on the pole was a picture of judgment. And the Lord was judged for our sin. It's all in the meal offering. He had a life of suffering for righteousness. It's why He suffered. I suffer because of Rick. Something dumb Rick does. It's all sympathy from a tender heart in anticipation for the cross. Matthew 26:37. And He took with Him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then said He unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here, watch with Me. And He went a little further and fell on His face and prayed, saying, Oh, My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from Me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but as Thou wilt. Matthew 8:16. When the even was come, they brought unto Him many that were possessed with devils. And He cast out the spirits with His word and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, Himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. He had a rough life. I mean, I'm just used to America. I was thinking there today, you know, that's another message. Never mind. He endured the contradiction of sinners. The reproach of men. He was misunderstood, abused, maligned. Some said He had a devil. Some said, you're mad. Beelzebub. He was betrayed, denied, deserted, mocked. If you gaze at Him, there's no other heart attraction. That needs to be, all my attractions need to be to Him. I don't need any other attractions. Who partook of this meal offering was the priest and his family. Now again, all of Aaron's sons were priests, and all believers are priests. You believers are the only priests alive on earth today. They're not in these denominations. The believer. Okay, here's number five. I might have lied to you. It might be six. There's six. There's not five. Number five is the peace offering. They sprinkled the blood of the ram or a lamb or a kid or an ox on the altar of earth. And they ate it the same day. The reason is, for today the Lord will appear unto you. They were thinking about the rapture. They were thinking about going home. That's what the peace offering was for. Offer at your own will for a memorial to think about the Lord coming back again. To think about the rapture. It was for thanksgiving or communion of a worshiper to keep close to God, our only security. Everybody needs that alone time with God. Moses went through it for 40 years on the backside of the desert, and being alone with God, he learned things he could never learn down in the Egyptian college, down at the big school. We've got to spend time alone with God. Bible, with the Bible and prayer. The Father was the object. The Son was the ground that we came in on. And the Spirit was the power to worship with the fellow priests. only the most excellent portions were burnt. For Sister Kim, that'd be the steaks. She'd take the steaks. It's for me to feed on for affections and strength. So I'd love the Lord at alone time. It was happy, holy fellowship under the blood of our new nature. See, the old nature doesn't get cleaned up or converted. The old nature doesn't improve that much. The Father provided a brand new robe. Not improving the old nature, not repairing the rags. Sin dwells in us, but it does not rain on us like it used to, like the world. When we sin, the conscience feels it. It affects our thoughts of God, but it doesn't affect God's thoughts of us. He still loves us just because He loves us. No other reason. The offering and the offerer were both without blemish and accepted. The laying on of hands on the altar made them both one. God will help and forgive our ignorance, but never my indifference. Here's some other offerings. There was also, you might check them out, there in Leviticus or where, there was a drink offering. There was a free will offering, which really they all should have been. And some of these offerings, two of them would be going on at the same time. They intertwine there. There was a heave offering and a thank offering. There was a wave offering. The priest took some of these offerings we had, I read about right here, and would wave them back to the Lord, back to heaven, just like the song says, the little kid's song. There was a wave offering. And some offerings were insufficient when the giver was unholy and defiled and rotten and ruined. Some were unacceptable. One more, this is the last one. Here's the last offering. It's the acceptable offering. It's acceptable. Isaiah 56. It starts in verse 3. Neither let the son of the stranger that hath joined himself to the Lord speak, saying, the Lord hath utterly separated me from His people. Not only can the stranger get in, but the son of a stranger could get in. Anybody could get in. It was whosoever will. Even if you lived in Nallon, you could get in. Neither let the eunuch say, behold, I'm a dry tree. For thus saith the Lord unto the eunuchs that keep my Sabbath and choose the things that please me and take hold of my covenant. That even unto them will I give in my house and within my walls a place and a name better than the sons of daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off. Even the eunuchs could get in. The eunuchs and the strangers and the son of a stranger. You could get in. Anybody can get in. Whosoever will. Also, the sons of a stranger that join themselves to the Lord to serve Him and to love the name of the Lord to be His servants. Everyone that keepeth the Sabbath from polluting it and taketh hold of my covenant, even them will I bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. It's a pretty good deal we got in on here. Their burnt offering and their sacrifices shall be accepted upon mine altar, for mine house shall be called a house of prayer for all people. The Lord God which gathereth the outcast. Somebody want to claim right there? Are you an outcast in here? The Lord God which gathereth the outcast of Israel saith, yet will I gather others to Him besides those that are gathered unto Him. Hallelujah. Dear Heavenly Father, thank You for including me. Thank You that we got in. Thank You that You made sure that we get in. Thank You that You made sure there was a way. And we thank You for it, dear Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.